So we're going to break with protocol a little bit. I'm going to read, because it is Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to read the traditional Pentecost text. But we're also in the book of Romans, so I'm going to read that text for you as well. So the first lesson comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as if a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the second lesson is from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 39. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travels in pain together until now. And not only they, but also ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within, waiting for adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he hope? Why does he need to hope? But if we hope for that which is not seen, then we do it with patience and we wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we do not know how we should pray. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searches the heart, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many. Moreover, whom he did predestine, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not even his own Son, but delivered him for all of us, how shall he not also be given or give us all things freely? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who then condemns? It is Christ that died, rather, and that is raised again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature, nor anything in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, if I say the name Felix Baumgartner, it maybe doesn't ring a bell for many people in this room. But back in 2012, Felix Baumgartner performed a remarkable feat when he jumped from a helium balloon in the stratosphere. When he started his jump, he was 24 miles above the surface of the Earth. During his fall, he reached speeds of more than 840 miles per hour, which is faster than the speed of sound. As you can imagine, any number of things could have gone wrong with his jump. Traveling at that speed, he could have passed out in the fall. At that speed, his parachute could have failed to be able to support that fall. He could have sustained some kind of injury traveling at that speed. And as you know, that kind of feat, that kind of stunt, has the risk of death. But that didn't dissuade Felix Baumgartner from attempting this amazing stunt. Soon after he successfully completed this jump, there was a newspaper article reflecting upon his jump that asked its readers, "What stunt would you do if you knew you would survive?" I think it's a fun question to think about. At the top of my list, I think, would be climbing Mount Everest. As I thought about this, I think the sense of accomplishment would be absolutely incredible. I'm sure that it would be an adventure like no other, and I just think it would be terribly exhilarating, even life-changing. I imagine if I could climb Mount Everest, I could feel like I could accomplish just about anything else in life. However, I don't think I would risk my life, as so many people do, to reach the summit of that mountain. But if I knew that I would survive the encounter, I think I would for sure put climbing Mount Everest on my bucket list. Having the kind of confidence to know that I would survive changes everything. So what kind of stunt would you do if you knew that you would survive? Would you skydive? Would you jump into a tank full of sharks? Would you hang glide? Would you perform a Harry Houdini act for the rest of us? I think it's fun to use your imagination to think about what you would do, what stunt you would perform if you knew you would survive. Now, what would you do if you believed at all times in your life the words of the Apostle Paul this morning, the words that say, "Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord"? How would you live every moment of your life differently if you believed that you are justified, that your sins are forgiven, that you have been made right with God, as Paul writes, and that no matter what you do, no matter what happens to you, that nothing could change God's love for you? How would that change you? How would that change your life and the decisions that you make? So in this amazing book called Romans that we've spent the last few weeks in, the Apostle Paul, through these eight chapters, has been talking about the history of salvation. And he begins like this. He talks about that we've sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. But then he says that Jesus has redeemed us while we were still sinners. And then he talks about how we are identified with Christ in our baptism. And now I think Paul gets to the very best part when he writes that God has called us, God has kept us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. I think these words are incredible. And if I had to pick a favorite verse, I think it would fall within these verses. These words aren't new for us. I think we hear them frequently enough. We're Lutherans. We believe in grace. But the thing is that these words are incredibly hard to believe. And there are a lot of people who just can't believe them. Some of you may be even wondering, can these words really be true? And maybe some of you have deep doubts and you say, I don't think these words can be true for me. As we know in our world, there are lots of people who would not be able to believe the words of Paul, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. One of those people is Bruce Weber. Bruce was an obituary writer for the New York Times, and a couple of years ago he wrote a book, kind of memoirs of his life. He tells about a time when his father fell desperately ill. An ambulance came rushing to get them and rushing toward the hospital. However, this was New York City, and as is typical in New York City, the ambulance was slowed by heavy traffic. Tragically, another car came up and rear-ended the ambulance. Bruce, the son, was riding in the ambulance with his father, and he said he couldn't believe it. Here was his father at the point of death, and now this. He said it seemed as if God had it in for him. He writes, I have never been much of a believer, but at that moment I dispensed with God for good. Our lives are in no one's hands but our own. So that statement is counter to what Paul says in Romans. But I think so many people believe that way. They say there is no God, and if there is, he certainly doesn't care about me. Look at all the bad things that have happened in my life. No, it's up to us. No one cares what happens to me, so I better care a whole lot about myself. Too often, I think we look at things that way, as if it's up to us. I have to look out for myself first. So to our American culture, the statement of Paul is radical. Paul is making a great statement of faith when he says, I am sure nothing can separate us from the love of God. He's saying, in spite of our do-it-yourself American attitude and culture, that we are not in this all by ourselves, that we're in the hands of God. God has us. He will not let us go. Paul says, even in death. Doesn't mean that our lives are all of a sudden going to be easier or free from pain. When the ambulance carrying Bruce Weber's father was rear-ended, Bruce quit his faith. He seemed to think that God should bring us a life that is pain-free, if not at least tragedy-free. But the Apostle Paul, and I think most people who have lived faith know that this is not true. Life will always have challenges. Some of them may seem insurmountable at the time. But then Paul asks these questions. He asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall distress or persecution or famine or peril or sword? Paul knew about these very things from his own life experiences. Paul had more challenges and disappointments than I think most people we know. So when difficult times come, do we, as Bruce Weber did, simply abandon our faith? Paul's answer to all of these questions is an absolute no. And because he answers all of these questions in that way, they become comforting questions. What can separate us from the love of God? Can distress? Paul says no. Can challenges? No. Can disappointment? No. Can famine? No. How about death? Paul says no, not even death can separate us from the love of God. And he writes, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So why is it so hard for us to believe the statement of Paul? I think because deep down inside we have this instinct that we have to do something, we have to become something else to be accepted or to be loved. I think it's a message that we hear over and over in our culture. You have to look a certain way. You have to act a certain way. You have to have the right kind of job. You have to be the right kind of person or change to become the right kind of person before God will love or accept you. Yet God says, you are loved, and nothing can change that, not even death itself. So Paul writes in these last 8 chapters, and I think especially in these last 9 verses that we heard, look them up again, he lays out this magnificent claim. He says, God is for you. He goes on to say, God has justified you. He says, God does not condemn or judge you. He says, even when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit of Jesus is interceding for us. He says, you may really mess things up, and you may have a lot of really bad things happen to you. But he says, still, there is no separation between you and God's love for you. Maybe in your mind, you've created separation. Maybe you imagine somehow that what you've done has separated you from God's love. But Paul says that even that distance that you have created is insignificant to God, because with God there is no distance, no separation between you and the love he has for you. This isn't a new idea. If you look up the psalmist, my favorite psalm, 139, the psalmist writes, run to the farthest distance of the sea. Make your place, or make your bed in the place of the dead. Guess what? God is still there. Nothing separates you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not hardship, distress, nakedness, famine, peril, death, past, present, future, height, depth, and if he hasn't covered it, nor anything else in creation. As one theologian writes, you see, Paul, or to Paul, Christian faith is more than getting the right answers, more than intellectual knowledge. Christian faith is a bold declaration for living, a way of interpreting what you see. Paul invites us to try this faith on for size. Take off that threadbare coat that you cling to that makes you think that God is judgmental and convicting and that hell waits for you. Take it off and throw it away. If it doesn't fit, why do you keep wearing it? If that is the coat you want to wear, okay. If the lens of judgment and condemnation and narrow thinking are what you put on, so be it. If that is what you think Christianity is really about, you are wrong. He writes, but let me tell you that I am going to jump into this pool of grace, and the water is fine. Come on in. So what would you do? How would you live? What would you get involved in if you knew that these words of Paul were true? If you took them to heart, that God is for you. There is no charge against you. There is no condemnation. Nothing, nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So take that statement, put it up against the challenges that you face in your life. Was it the face of the doctor who let you know that there are more tests ahead? Is it the dead-end job? Or is it the fear that you might lose that dead-end job and end up with no job at all? Is it the fear about struggles in your marriage, struggles with your kids, struggles with your parents, or the griefs that cause you so much heartache? Is it battle with temptation or sin or evil or addiction? You can take all that and you can put it up against the statement of Paul that says nothing, not even these things, as threatening and terrible as they may seem, nor anything else in all creation can separate you from God's love. Helen Keller says that life is either a dangerous adventure or it's nothing. We know that life is dangerous. It's filled with challenges. It may have tragedies along the way. But if we can live the words of Paul, perhaps this challenging, even dangerous adventure called life can become just that, an adventure. There's one thing that we can be sure of. That's that in life and in death, we are held by the love of God. He's got everybody here firmly, securely in his hands. That's true while we're alive. That's true even in death. Paul says that death will not change God's love for us one bit. So whatever challenges come your way, whatever afflicts you, whenever you feel helpless or hopeless, whenever you feel weak, maybe you feel lost, when doubts, when evil seems to be in control, hold fast to these words. Paul says, I am confident that these things are true. And you can be confident too, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, things to come, things in the present, powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God.